Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire at RL on RY.
Yeah, get involved as we look back on the weekend in Rugby League. Full-time scores in the qualifiers. London 18, Hull Kingston Rovers 58. Salford Red Devils 70, Featherstone Rovers 16. In the Championship Shield, Oldham 20, Whitehaven 18, Sheffield 22, Dewsbury 38. Still waiting confirmation at Swinton, but they were leading late against Halifax 28-26. Workington 30, Bradford Bulls 26, the league leaders, beaten by a relegated side. In League One, Doncaster overcome the London Scholars 34-30. Keighley comfortable for them, 50 points to 8 over York City Knights. Rochdale 34, Hunslet 18. That was 0-0 at half time. And in the League One Shield, it finished Oxford 6, Crusaders 37. At RL and RY, if you want to get involved. Let's head back to the AJ Bell Stadium. Gary Schofield is still there. Still noisy, which is always good. And I guess we've already reflected on this game. Salford with a comfortable victory, but at least Featherstone didn't give up, which is credit to them and, you know, their players and so on.
Yeah, it is, Richard. And I say the scoreline, I'll tell you, 70-16. It has been one-sided, but yeah, we were sure they didn't give up Featherstone. They had a great start, you know, the first set of six. They went the full side of the pitch with the front row of ball, which was scoring the first try after around about 45 seconds. But then, you know, just maybe a bit of indiscipline and silly mistakes by kicking the ball out in the full. Good field position for Salford. And as we said at times this year with Salford, you know, they have played some decent rugby league, to be honest with you, Rich. And the creativity, what they've got, certainly, from Michael Dobson and the pace at Niall Evans coming from full-back and Josh Young and Junior Sow and with the wingers. You know, the pace, what they've got out there, then was always going to cause Featherstone problems. And, yeah, John Sharp, I guess look at the scoreline and say, well, you know, we're a better side than that. Well, I would say, yeah, maybe they are, but it's like anything else, Rich. If you keep inviting teams into your own half, into your own 22, it doesn't matter what sort of division what you're playing in, you're going to get penalised, and that's one of the main reasons why they've conceded 70 points.
And we look at the league table for this, and Featherstone and Batley are where you would expect them to be with their budgets compared to pretty much every other team in the competition. Certainly Lee, of course, who we know is spending pretty much the salary cap this year. So although the results and the scorelines are bad for these clubs, especially Featherstone, they're not doing anything they weren't expecting to do.
Oh no, I agree. Yeah, I'd say when you look at the quality of the full-time sides that they're playing against, and what this has conceded 70, they conceded 64 against Leeds, and I think 62 against Huddersfield. So yeah, you would expect it, but you've got to give yourself half a chance. And if you don't, you know, give yourself an opportunity because of the silly penalties what you're giving away, and also to the missed tackles, and again kicking the ball out on the full from kickoffs and not hitting the touchline from penalties, then you've got to give yourself half an opportunity. But if you are coming up with these sort of mistakes, then you are going to get these sort of scorelines against you, and it's as simple as that, Rich.
We'll look at the other game today. Obviously a big win for Hull Kingston Rovers, and if my maths is correct, and we were discussing this during the game, they will now go third above Huddersfield Giants. Huddersfield take on Leeds this time next week live on Radio Yorkshire. Hull Kingston Rovers next Sunday go to Featherstone, so they'll be expected to win that one. So we look at the points difference, we look at the results, and I guess it's advantage Hull KR going into the next round.
Oh, it is it ever. And I say with the players who have maybe played for OKR this afternoon, so they put a bit of a marker down now. So, yeah, OKR, it's all about getting this momentum, getting that confidence. And, you know, they're looking to do that now. Campese, he's, come back into the side. Whether the old bookend has played today, I don't really know, to be honest with you.
Well, judging by their Twitter feed, yes, he went on, but it was Campese who, unsurprisingly, was the person who was going to do all the difference because they were missing a halfback. They needed a halfback more than a prop forward.
Absolutely, and I'd say we all know how important Campese has been. And yeah, we know he's been missing for most of the season, but when he does play, you can see the quality in him. So they've got him back there now, and if he, he's going to be a huge difference. If he can, stay fit for the next two games, then who knows? Hull Kingston Rovers may miss that £1 million game.
Well, of course, they've got the final game of the qualifiers is at home to the Huddersfield Giants, which possibly you would think would decide who's in that million.
I tell you what, Rich, boy oh boy, isn't the when you talk about which club's under most pressure, I'll tell you what, Huddersfield are under pressure around there, because let's just face it, we know Hulk Yar got shut their coach early doors in the season, but and I say they got shut of Paul Anderson, and they say they have made a big mistake by bringing Australian over, because all he's saying, even still now, that he doesn't know his best team, he doesn't know, you know, what sort of combinations he's looking for. He hasn't got any time to mess around now, it's as simple as that. And I say they took the decision to get shut of their coach in Anderson. Okay, the results wasn't there, we're in the results business, but they should have kept it in-house. Andy Kelly should have been giving it there. I know he went to Australia, but still, they should have given it to Chris Foreman while they come back from Australia, because they know what sort of position what they're in, they know the opposition they're playing there. And tell you what, boy oh boy, they have made a big mistake by bringing Rick Stone on as the head coach.
I mean, not that we can make predictions and get them right every week, but you would expect Leeds to
win. Rich, of course I can.
Well, you can, well, I can, but we would expect Leeds to win at the John Smith next Sunday afternoon. You'd expect Hull KR to put on plenty of points at Featherstone. At least they're going to win. So that increases their points difference. So going into that final game, it's going to be Huddersfield are going to need a big win away at the Lightstream Stadium to get third place. So at the moment, although they are, you know, level on points, and the points difference is, what, four between the two, after next week, it looks like it could be a big advantage for Hull Kingston Rovers if everything goes the way we expect.
Yeah, if you look at it that way, certainly from the points here. But I tell you what, Rich, the way that Leeds played on Friday night, they're going to have to come up with a lot better than what they did against Batley. Okay, you know, Batley's enthusiasm and commitment and purpose, nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But the way what Leeds played, honestly, mate, the, you know, just a one out rugby. And I say in the end, yeah, Watkins did score and Briscoe and Burrow. But I tell you what, they've got to do it, because they didn't, at times there wasn't any organisation, there wasn't any shape, there wasn't any sort of leadership. So I tell you, Huddersfield, they're desperate, and I tell you what, I wouldn't maybe rule out Huddersfield beating Leeds next week, to be honest with you.
I don't say that. I bet Leeds to finish top of the table, and I thought this was a great bet, and then Lee come along and spoil everything the way things have gone.
Well, that'll be a big game as well, because Leeds play Lee at the end of the last game at Headingley, don't they? So I tell you what, it's all lining up now, isn't it? The last two games for everybody, you know, it's far better than what the top four's been in the top eight, to be honest. We don't really want to talk about that, because at this moment in time, that's pretty boring, if I'm honest with you. But oh no, these qualifiers, it's certainly bringing what everybody were looking for and the anticipation of it all.
Well, you mentioned Friday's game. Obviously, you were there and I wasn't. Was it a matter of Leeds just being below par and perhaps respecting Batley too much, if that's possible, and Batley or was it a case of Batley playing above themselves?
Oh well, Batley, and I say I wouldn't say above themselves, they were just enthusiastic, and how they played all year, and they enjoy each other's company out there, and you know, they gave it the best shot. But for mine, it's just, you know, Leeds, they've done enough now, aren't they? You know, they've secured the Super League place, it's as simple as that. But the rugby league, what they're playing, I say it was playing against Batley, and no disrespect to Batley again, but there was just no openness about the performance. And everybody, even before the game, Richie, and to be honest with you, to the people I was speaking to the game, I was saying, well, you know, I reckon Leeds would be around about 68 points to 10, because they should have put on an exhibition for us, you know, letting the ball do the work and asking plenty of questions out there. But it wasn't, it was just at times boring one man rugby, and you know, just playing for field position. I tell you, they're going to need a lot more against Huddersfield next week.
Well, the bookmakers had them with a 40-point start on Friday, so Batley covered that comfortably in the end. I mean, I thought it was something like 60 as well, but, and again, that's no disrespect to Batley. But obviously Leeds have signed James Seguiara. I think we have said throughout the season of perhaps missing that distribution from a dummy half, but as you were saying before the game this afternoon, he's not the only player they need to improve their squad for next season.
Oh, no, he's not. Oh, no, not at all. But at times, I think a little bit of worry at times with Seguiaro. He's always looking to try and come up with that champion play, and it doesn't happen. You know, at times, yeah, you may need that, and something different from somebody that he can bring now. But I'll tell you, oh boy, Leeds, they need some halfbacks who can create. They need some halfbacks who can keep that shape and organise. And it's as simple as that, because if not, I'll tell you, it'll be a long, hard season again for the Rhinos next year.
Would you give that number 6 or 7 shirt to Jordan Lilly next year?
Oh, without a doubt. It's as simple as that, you know. And people say to me, well, Scotty hasn't got pace, electrifying pace. Well, I know he hasn't, but I tell you what, he can organise, he can get him around the park, and that's certainly what Leeds are missing. But he's not being given that responsibility, and the sooner he does, it's going to be better for the Rhinos.
Yeah, he does look like a player who, he's got that X factor about him, does he? We said this a few times here Well, hopefully he does get the chance for these next season, because that's what you want to see.
Well, of course we do. Absolutely, and so does John, and he would love that extra responsibility and that pressure. And I say, I've said it once, and if I've said it a dozen times now, when I saw him play last year against New Zealand, and we're getting everybody around the park, taking on that responsibility, telling all the experienced players around him what to do, and I say he needs to be given it, and he needs to be given it as soon as possible.
I know Jamie James Buchanan said after the game he was almost disillusioned with the sport. Is that with the... do you think the way the style of matches are going at the moment? Because we are seeing some terribly boring games.
Richie, I tell you what, I was absolutely delighted when I heard it, because I tell you what, you know, the way the game is going, and the way that players are being coached, and how JJB was talking about the wrestle and the tackling, and the way players are. Going round the neck and the holding there and twisting the knees and all this sort of thing. It's simple. I tell you, we need to change the philosophy of how we're playing, because I tell you what, in 5 or 10 years' time, this game will be so boring, nobody will be watching it, and I'll be one of them. I can reassure you, I'll be one of them.
I'll have to find something else to watch. Hopefully we don't have to watch Yorkshire Carnegie or something. We'll see what we can do. Now, Brian's tweeted, he thinks Hulk Owl will finish third now. Reds versus Giants in the £1 million game. Nige also says Salford he thinks will get relegated. He says he even fancies Batley to beat them in the last game. Well, if they're enthusiastic, I guess they've got a chance. But, it is intriguing now. We know someone is going to get relegated. There's a lot of pressure on the line now. Last year we didn't quite have that because Wakefield went in as favourites against Bradford and everything stayed the same. But something's going to change this year, and you look at Lee's performance, yes, against Huddersfield. I know the scoreline is close in the end, but they were absolutely superb in that first 20 minutes I saw before I went out. And you've got to give all the credit to Neil Jukes. They lost that first game of the season at Batley. Since then, they have not looked back.
No, they've been absolutely outstanding. And then I say Neil Jukes and I say the chairman himself, by giving him the responsibility for there, because to be honest with you, it's when Paul Rowley decided to leave 10 days before the season started, and that lost to Batley, are the wheels going to fall off? Does Jukes can he handle handle them egos at Lee? And I tell you what, he's done a great job, and also too bringing in Pertel from Huddersfield, and also too Paul Cook, absolutely outstanding. But they've got some quality players. They've all got Super League experience in that Lee side, and what they've learned from last year, it's quite simple, isn't it? The discipline when they used to play, won't be for sure, they're very attractive to watch. When you saw some of them tries yesterday, absolutely outstanding. And Huddersfield made the scoreline look respectable, but for 40 minutes they were sheer quality, Lee, you said. And all credit to the coaching staff, and also to the chairman in taking the responsibility of giving a young English coach, giving it to Jukes out, Lee, because I can reassure you, I would imagine there'd have been stacks of Australians who would have played for that job there. So well done to Derek Beaumont to giving a young English coach the opportunity, and fully deserved.
And they've shown in beating Huddersfield and beating Hull KR that they have got quality players in there who will compete against Super League opposition next year. I mean, the likes of Martin Ridyard, I'm sure he'll probably pick up the Player of the Year award at the championship dinner tomorrow night. He was absolutely superb yesterday again.
I tell you what, Richard, because I've done my column tomorrow in the League Express about where the £1 million game's going to go to, and obviously it's Salford and it's Hulkies and Rovers and Lee, and I've said about Ridyard, I tell you what, we don't have too many quality standoffs. It doesn't matter if it's in Super League or the Championship, and I tell you what, Ridyard, honestly, the way he can create, the way that he's got that passing game and that vision, with the skills, with ball in hand, his kicking game, so he's got a bit of pace, as he showed yesterday with that interception. I'll tell you what, if Mr. Bennett was giving me a call asking about Riyad, I say, I'll tell you what, he wouldn't look out of place in the England jersey as a number six. Look out of place.
Let's go for it. We spoke months ago about the probables versus possibles. Can you imagine Ridyard and Lilly in the house?
Oh, well, I'll tell you what, that would be a delight to watch, to be honest with you. And I say, for Ridyard, for mine, and I say, we don't have any quality number sixes. And as I say, well, Widdop, he's not doing too much. And I say, George Williams, indecisive for mine. I'll tell you what, Ridyard, I would be saying for him, hey, yeah, stick him in an England jersey, let's have a look at him.
So Sean Ware was under pressure last week, but they win late at Hull this week. Obviously, all the pressure's off now. Wigan are back. But Hull, they need to get rid of this post-Wembley hoodoo, and they've got a very good chance to do that on Thursday, because live on Radio Yorkshire they travel to the Wakefield Trinity Wildcats, who are yet to win in this competition. I think Chris Chester is beyond frustrated with the performances from his players in the last few weeks. and it's a very good chance for Hull to get back on the board.
It is indeed, and I say, well, Wakefield, to be honest with you, they're on the beach, aren't they? You know, the players are on the beach, it's as simple as that, so there's no point going on about them anymore. It's job satisfaction for them. They've got what they wanted, they've achieved what they wanted to achieve, and yeah, Hull, now they, as I say, for 40 minutes they were okay, but again, Wigan just grounded out the window. I'm delighted, my own mucker, Sean. He had a bit of a smile back on his face, and let me just tell you out there, Sean, if you listen to here, because I text a few people before games and after, and it seems to have fallen out with me, to be honest with you. I hope he's not, you know, from there with a bit of a criticism what he received after last week's game, and rightly so, but he's professional enough, Sean. I was delighted that the smile was back on his face, but as we're talking about the black and whites, they need to get back to the 2 points, because if it's down to the last game of the season against Warrington, If Wigan and St Helens win again this week, there's pressure on them, because Hull need to finish in the top two, don't they, to be, you know, make it a little bit easier for themselves to get to Old Trafford.
Indeed. I mean, I saw Warrington on Friday night against Widnes, and the first half was quite good. Warrington went 14-0 up, and you could just see the Widnes players not give up necessarily, but you could see perhaps that they knew it was beyond them. On that occasion, great opening try from Chris Hill, a good offload from Ashton Sims, went about 30 yards did Hill, who obviously is one of the key men in the Man of Steel reckoning come the end of the season. But the second half, once Warrington had pretty much wrapped it up, it wasn't very good. It was not a very good game, and at least it finished at about 9:45, so we'd get out of there early and such. Warrington looked good, but they're going to need to up that intensity going into the semi-finals and the final, but it does look now that they're going to win the League Leaders' Shield, at least.
Yeah, it does, but it's a big game this week, isn't it? They play Wigan this week, but they're at home, so they'll be looking to wrap it up and, you know, finish the top of the league, because the week after they go to the KC against Hull. But yeah, that's hotting up a little bit from there. So, but yeah, Warrington, you wouldn't rule out them making grand final, that is for sure.
No, as we know, they're desperate to win that first title.
Yes, they are indeed. They are.
It's always their year. They've got a big flag. I saw it on Friday. I was very impressed with the facilities. My first trip to the Halliwell Jones, and you look at all the stadiums on that side of the Pennines compared to some on this side, and we are severely lacking. I'm looking at you, Castleford and Wakefield, or Wakefield and Castleford, whichever order you want to put that in. I don't think much else has happened this week in Super League. It's got, all the excitement was yesterday with Lee, and the rest of the week, I know Saints beat Castleford, but Castleford's season's obviously come to an end. But at least, and I was impressed with them on Thursday in terms of their tactics at the earliest part of the game, was just to get the ball out wide and avoid the big men in the middle. I thought it was quite clever.
Yeah, absolutely, and I'd say, but you know, again, St Helens there, they're just coming up nice and quiet, aren't they? You know, Kieran doesn't seem too impressed the way that they're playing, but again, all right. At times, it's not the vintage St Helens what they've come to see, but they've got 40 points against Cass, but it's, you know, Cass, when we, you know, the injuries, what they've got from there, was just a great effort again, wasn't it?
Chris Chester took them, St Helens to win the Super League. Will you be following your Cash with Mr Chester? Not that you can bet, obviously, but Mr Chester's tip.
Well, I tell you what, mate, I put in the column last week, if it's a Wigan St Helens grand final, and by the way, them people on Sky who are the commentators...
Oh, yeah, they did mention you. I forgot all about that. I was going to introduce you as a man with no name, but
yeah, exactly, a man with no name, just by saying it. You know what... you know what, Rich, whatever people think about me, you're there, but one thing for sure, I won't be disrespected as a rugby league player, and for them just to say, oh, an ex-international said it would be a travesty in Wigan and St Helens got to the grand final, let me just tell Mr Emmons and Mike Stevenson, it's quite clear here, I didn't say it would be a travesty, I said it would be a bore fest. That's what I said, it would be a boring grand final. And do you know what, Rich?
It's
correct. Everybody has agreed with me, but also as well, Mr Hemmings and Mr Stevenson, give me a bit more respect by naming, by saying, oh, Gary Schofield, the ex-international, not just ex-international, because I won't be disrespected as a rugby league player. Not a chance.
It is funny when, though, I don't know why they didn't name you. I don't understand the point of doing that. They don't want to give you publicity. You've got a column in the paper. You're on the radio all the time. People know you.
Well.
People know who you are. I don't know if you're aware of this, but you know.
Well, as I say, Rich, as well, everybody's entitled to an opinion. You know what I mean? They have their opinion, but at the end of the day, you know what, to be honest with you? Whatever they say, they want people to agree with you all the time. They think that everything what they say is right. Well, at times, it's not. It's as simple as that, you know. But, well, for sure, Rich, I won't be disrespected as a rugby league player. No way made. Not a chance.
We'll leave that to Mark on a Monday night. That's his job. Teddy and Steve-O, back off. That's Wilson.
Yeah, story. But it was pathetic, wasn't it? Absolute pathetic.
I don't know why they did that. It's just an old thing to do. But there you go. We do live in an era in sport where people don't like people with opinions. Unless it goes with the, majority of people.
Yeah, but as I say, when they give their opinion, right, they think whatever they say is God. Everything what they say, they think is right. Well, it's not. You know, it's not, and everybody is entitled to opinion. And as I say, the column one I did last week, you know, and if it is Wigan and if it is St. Helens in the grand final, it's quite simple. It'll be boring as hell. The way the both teams play, it's going to be boring. And you know what? There isn't too many people who have disagreed with me, Richard, to be honest with you. There isn't.
Well, usually when we upset people, they end up coming in on a Monday. So, Eddie, Steve-o, door's always open. You can come and pop in. You can say hello to Gary.
Yeah, they can. Hello, ex international. Interesting.
So I'll get Tom on the last echo this week to just caption you as that ex.
Oh yeah, ex international. Yeah.
Matt, we've known.
Yeah. I'm surprised that ex international's got 46 caps. Pathetic. Absolute pathetic.
But as we've said many a times, you know, we sometimes don't do much with people who. Been there, done that, got a million T-shirts, but not allowed to have an opinion. might upset people.
Well, one thing for sure, which, as I say, I respect, and I'm fully delighted that Radio Yorkshire employ me, and one thing for sure, I'm giving my honest opinion, and that's the way it is. It's as simple as that.
How many times in your career, and obviously you're at the top, did you ever get criticised in newspapers,
plenty.
Radio, TV,
Richie, plenty. And you know what? I never took my bat and ball on because I was honest enough with myself. And when you know, at the end of the day, you know, you look at I didn't need a psychologist. I didn't need anybody else or a coach to tell me how good, bad, and indifferent I played. Because I looked at myself in the mirror and said, "Yeah, all right, score. Yeah, you got 7 out of 10 today, or you got an 8 or a 9." So I was open and honest with my own performances. But yeah, I'll tell you. The way I got slack when I made my test debut at number 6, and the only time Great Britain ever got beat by Papua New Guinea, will never get beaten by Papua New Guinea again. And the absolute slaughter I got from the national press, from the radio, I should never ever play for Great Britain again at number 6. I don't know why Malcolm Reilly's ever even considered him playing there. And I tell you, the way they absolutely slated me, and it was right, Richie, I cost Great Britain the game. It was absolutely right. But I didn't take my bat and ball home. Did I else? It was quite simple because I knew, I took it on the chin and I knew that I was rubbish. I was absolute rubbish that game. But I put it right the next game and, you know, I think we won the game 48 points to 8 from there. But the way that sport is nowadays, and certainly with a lot of rugby league players, it's simple. If you criticise them, we don't want to talk to you anymore. It's ridiculous. All them press guys who slagged me off, they were absolutely right. Absolutely right. And I never took my bat and ball with any press people.
Well, we go back to last weekend and the whole keyboard warriors thing from Peacock. And the problem is, and I've said this on social media this week, and I don't care who I'm just some nobody behind a microphone, it doesn't matter what I say, but if you're going to be on social media, you're going to get criticism, you're also going to get praise. If you don't want the praise, you can't have the criticism, if you can't accept the criticism, you can't accept the praise as well, because it goes
absolutely.
Both ways.
Absolutely, of course it does.
You know, plenty of Wakefield supporters, because I'm, you know, obviously a Wakefield fan myself. I read the forums. I know people aren't happy with the performances or whatever. But deep down, they also know that they'd rather be where they are now than where Hulk are and Huddersfield and Salford are. Wakefield's season may have ended a few weeks ago at Lee and they haven't won a game since or whatever. But in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't matter. Whereas, you know, if you're OKR, you can understand why their supporters are frustrated. You can understand why Huddersfield supporters are frustrated. You can understand why that fella sat in front of you this afternoon at Salford is frustrated because they might be in the division below.
Absolutely. You know, one of them are going to be where they don't want to be, and that's in the Championship. And that's a reality, you know. But I tell you what, it's going to be exciting over the next 2 weeks, which two teams do playing that million-pound game. And as you mentioned, if Salford are in there and they do manage to finish fourth and they get the home tie, they're not going to even be able to play it here. They may have to take it away.
Well,
so
no.
that's even more pressure for Salford.
That's what I was told by Matt Horton, because Sale Sharks are at home on October 1st, which is the
can't the player double header then?
Well, I assume not. I assume there's some complicated reason, probably due to TV, because obviously our friends at Sky show the Rugby League, and they're due to kick it off at 3 o'clock. Well, the Sharks are taking on Leicester at 2:30, which could be on BT. I don't know. I don't watch, so I don't know. So they'll have to, it seems, go to, well, I guess, Lee would be the nearest ground for some place. But immediately then, if they do finish fourth, they lose that home advantage, which could be a crucial factor in that game.
Oh, absolutely. You know, that's what they're striving for, to make sure if they are in that £1 million, they want home advantage. And, you know, it looks like that that it could be lost. But, as I say, here this afternoon, though, Rich, there are only 1,760 people here this afternoon. Okay, they made a little bit of a noise, but boy, oh boy, that's a bit of a worry. And as all mucker Mark Wilson just coming back up the steps now, so we'll get him the earmuffs on and see what maybe the coach, if I guess Ian Watson's happy about that. Yeah, well, I'd say Ian Watson, he'll be happy, you know, with the scoreline there now. And I wonder if, you know, if Mark did ask him a question about, are you thinking about the for and against? Because, you know, it could be where, you know, you get the home tie. But if they do get the home tie, Richie, we're just saying, they may not be playing at home.
Well, that's as far as I understand it.
Yes, interesting.
We need to refer to Mark as just broadcaster, because he can't have a name. Broadcaster and ex-international, our commentary team on Radio Yorkshire.
Yeah, interesting. Yes.
Anything exciting, Mark, we've learned this afternoon?
Oh, no, he's just waiting here. I'll just call him along.
Is he busy chatting?
He might be just sending the message to you. So he's just here now. So he's just... Mr Wilson is here.
Hello.
He's putting the muffs on. So, Mark, any interesting views from the two coaches with that game this afternoon?
Yeah, well, not regarding the game. John Sharp says very much, you know, it's a building process for them. Pointed out they've got a lot of players missing. Feels it's not a fair reflection, but what they are learning is invaluable, and they hope to use that next year to make them a bigger and better team and be challenging again for the eights. But I asked Ian Watson about the Tim Sheens predicament and the possible £1 million game and all that thing, and he said, look, you know, I think Tim's offered to walk away now if they feel they don't want him here. Ian Watson's asked him to stay, but said if they do play in a £1 million game, then Tim will stand down and not be around the club for the week, because he feels it would be a conflict of interest. So, interesting one, that. I thought he spoke very well. I thought both coaches spoke very well regarding that. You'll hear from them, I'm sure, soon on Radio Yorkshire. So, all good, I think. You know, I thought John Sharp spoke really well about the eights as a concept, and feels it's been a really positive experience, despite, you know, what's happened to them in terms of the results.
Who do you think is going to be in the £1 million? Well, who do you think is going to go down, Mark? Forget the £1 million game. Who's going down?
Huddersfield.
Well, we were saying earlier, Hull KR, if Huddersfield lose next week, if Hull KR get a big score at Fev, they've got a massive advantage going into that game between the two the week after.
Yeah, they have. And the worry I have about Huddersfield...
I think Huddersfield will beat Leeds next week.
The worry I have about Huddersfield, they don't win big games. They never have won big games, Scorey. That's an accusation you've labelled at them.
Absolutely. Yeah. The bottlers, we've had out, and they can't handle pressure. And I'll tell you what, I just said to Richard earlier, Mark, they made a huge mistake by giving Rick Stone this job. They should have kept it in-house. I know Andy Kelly went to...
I wonder if that's why they didn't, though, because Andy was going away.
No, but they should have given it to Foreman, you know, just while Andy was away. And then, obviously, Andy took over when he came after coming back from Australia after 3 weeks. They've made a huge mistake in bringing Rick Stone. And also, you know, what I'm hearing is that he don't fancy Ryan Brearley whatsoever. Well, they've paid a big money for Ryan Brearley. He's on a 4-year contract and he doesn't fancy him. Right. Strange one.
Gary, thank you very much. You're back with us tomorrow, 6 o'clock, until we talk about Hemel Stags.
Richie, did you call me by my name, mate? You didn't call me an ex-international. And that's how it should be. The ex-international works for us now.
Gary, thank you very much. Mark Wilson. Bit harsh. We'll see you tomorrow as well, Mark.
We will indeed, mate. I look forward to it. As always, it should be an absolute cracker.
I'm sure it will be. Mark Wilson and Gary Scofield, they're live from Salford, where they've hammered Featherstone in the qualifiers this afternoon.